And then our text is going to be Ephesians chapter 3. But I just want to turn here really quick first. My main thought today is it's an honor to share the gospel of grace. It's an honor to share the gospel of grace. That's what I want you to walk away with. I'm going to point everything to that. It's an honor as a believer to share the gospel of grace. It's not a burden. It's an honor. And I'm going to show you that as we go through this. Now, you know, people get honors for a bunch of things. They accomplish things. Like right now, the NBA is looking at the Hall of Famers, right? And I think there's three, maybe there's more. But Kobe Bryant, he's on the list. Of course, he just passed, right? Tim Duncan played for the Spurs. And then, what was the other guy? Kevin Garnett, he played for the Celtics. They're all up to go into the Hall of Fame. So people give people honor in this life for accomplishing something. But we're, as believers, we have the honor of now of sharing the gospel. But let me tell you, if you do that now, you're going to get a reward later. It's not all here. And I want to show you that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's just start in verse 1. Grab a Bible, pull up your phone, whatever. I want you to see it yourself, right? There's Bibles in the chairs there. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. That means fleshly. These Christians should be growing, and they're not growing. He says, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, which is okay for a baby, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So he's saying, look, man, as a baby, I was feeding you milk as a Christian. I should be feeding you meat now. But you're still a baby. I can't give it to you. He says, verse 3, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? He's talking about as the natural man. So if there's division, look, in your home, in a Christian home, in a church, whatever, what is he saying? You're carnal. You're a bunch of babies. It shouldn't be happening. Should be maturing. And then he says, here's the topic. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another say, I am of Apollos, are you yet not carnal? Watch what he says, verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, these are just men. That's all they are. They're men that were used. Now, my question to you is, God sends somebody to somebody to preach the gospel. Somebody shared the gospel with you, right? I mean, whether it was a person, whether it was somebody on the TV, was a Christian, whatever, somebody sent. That's what he's saying. Look, God has sent somebody to you if you're saved. I hope today that when I'm done, that all of us that are believers will go outside this door and tell, will be that one to tell another person. My goal today is to excite you, exhort you, to get back on the main purpose is to share Christ. Listen, if it was just about getting saved, at the moment you got saved, you went right to heaven. Think about it. What are we left here for, right? To know God, but also to let him be known. You may have lost this in your life now. You get distracted in our life, in our own little life, trying to make it. I want to bring you back to the purpose. Obviously, the main purpose is to glorify God, but we're left here to spread the gospel. Come back to that today. Not trying to build your life and have all these things. Those are fine if you use them all for the gospel's sake. You can have a house, but what are you using that house for? See, that's all I want you to see is none of that's going to bring you happiness. We're leaving it all behind. But we struggle so much over all those things, but I want to bring you back to the simplicity of the gospel of grace. And that's what Paul does in Ephesians 3. So let me just go a little bit more here. So he goes, verse 6, so neither he that is planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 9, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's one purpose. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. right? And then he says in verse 9, for we are his laborers together with God. You are God's husbandman. That means you're like a farmer. You're sowing out the seed of the gospel. And then you are like a building, he says. And then in verses 10 through 17, I'm not going to read it all, 15, it talks about you're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, all of us, right? And we're going to give an account, right? That Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we preach the gospel. We serve God. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and everything that God has given you as a Christian, from the moment you were saved to then, you're going to be held accountable, and so am I. Our time, the gospel, our treasure, everything. Now, verse 15, let's just go there, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 3. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of what? Rewards. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you can't lose your salvation because you're saved by grace, but you can lose a lot of rewards and honor given by Christ. Now go to Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to talk about today what is involved in this text in sharing the gospel of grace. The first thing I want you to jot down is persecution and praise for suffering. Persecution. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to stay right here. Look at verse 1. Paul says, for this cause. Now, remember, for this cause, right? He says, based on everything that you have in Christ, based on that, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now jump to verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul first talks about here about being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, he was a prisoner. Why was he a prisoner? The Jews persecuted him so much, but he did not say, I'm a prisoner of the Jews. He didn't say, I was a prisoner of Rome. He didn't say, I was a prisoner of Caesar. He says, I was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's very important. He didn't get mad at the Jews. He didn't blame anybody else. He said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. So here he's speaking of being in Rome. So basically, we're going through the book of Acts. Come on Wednesday nights. Basically, Paul was in prison for 5 years. 2 at Caesarea and the rest in Rome. But then he had nights where he'd spend time in prison, like in Philippi. Right? So he spent a lot of time in prison. The year he was dying, he said this to Timothy. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. He knew that Timothy is going to suffer. See, when you stand up for Christ and you share the gospel, you're eventually going to suffer. Another verse, Philippians 1:29. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ. That means the idea is a privilege. It's a privilege not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Paul's calling in Acts chapter 9, verse 16 says, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. So Paul's trying to say, look, you're a Christian. You're going to share the gospel. You're going to suffer. It's just like if you're a soldier and you go to the army, you know, and there's people sitting here today, went to Vietnam, Iraq, you know, Afghanistan. People are going to shoot at you. Right? So when you go to the enemy, that's normal. Right? If you're a running back in a football team, people are going to tackle you. That's normal. He said, if you're a Christian and you share the gospel, you're going to suffer. That's the way it is. You may suffer with your own family. You know, when you want to live for God and somebody else around you doesn't, it's hard. It's hard. You're going to suffer. Now, here's our response. The apostles were beaten in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. When Paul got beat up in Philippi, Acts 16:25 says this, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So see, when we get persecuted for the gospel, our attitude, our response is so important. Right? If you follow that text out in Acts 16, all the prisoners heard them, the keeper of the jail got saved. His household got saved. All because they praised God and they prayed during that time. I mean, they were inner stocks. Their feet were like this. They were just beat up. And at midnight, they were praying and praising God. And it affected so many people. This is one of my favorite verses. The Wallaces gave me this. It's on our porch. Acts 20:24. Paul said this. But none of these things move me, neither count. And that word means count, hold. It means hold on to. I my life dear. That means costly or valuable. So he's saying at first, I don't hold my life as valuable compared to serving Christ. It's not talking about I'm not valuable. See, when we think our life is so valuable and I want all these things and do all these things, he's saying, no, that's not important to me. He goes on to say, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify or to share the gospel of grace. It's so crazy there. It's like the more you hold on to your life, he's saying, the less joy you'll have. He says, the more you give up your life for Christ, the more joy you will have. But we think the total opposite, don't we? Come on, be honest. This is a very powerful verse. Tony Miranda said this. He said, the most important thing to Paul was not safety, wasn't security, it wasn't a retirement plan, but the mission of the king. Now, in verse 13, we saw, he said down there, he says, where I desire that you would not faint at my tribulation. Hey, don't feel sorry for me, for you, which is your glory. He's saying, look, because I was willing to suffer for Christ, you guys got saved. We'll only witness as far as we're willing to suffer for Christ. Philippians 1:12 says this, but I would you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the fullness of the gospel. Warren Wiersbe said this, and he's talking about the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 28, Israel would be blessed if they followed God, but if they didn't, God would curse them physically. But we're different in the church. He says this, in the Old Testament age, when God's people obeyed, God blessed them material, nationally, and physically. Deuteronomy 28. If they disobeyed, he withdrew those blessings. He says, this is not the way he deals with the church today. Our blessings are spiritual, not material. They are all have been given to us completely in Christ. We appropriate them by faith, but if we disobey God, he does not revoke them. We simply lose the enjoyment and enrichment of them. Paul was certainly a dedicated, spiritual-filled man, yet he was suffering as a prisoner. Paul made it clear that the physical, material blessings are not always the experience of the dedicated Christian life. See, we go to the Old Testament in those scriptures, and we kind of like, oh, if we're not being blessed financially and we're doing all the right things, then God's not blessing us. It's not true. It's not like the Old Testament. God used a nation. They followed God. They were blessed, even material-wise. With us, we have all the spiritual blessings. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer, and you may have nothing material-wise. Not because you're a bad steward. It's because you're following Christ. You got to make that distinction, because a lot of people read the Bible, and they take verses out of context, and then they say, look, God isn't blessing me. It's not true. All right, so what is it involved in sharing the gospel? First of all, it involves persecution, but also praising God during that persecution. The second thing, go back to our text, Ephesians 3:2. It involves the plan of grace. Look at verse 2. It says, ye have heard of the dispensation, I'll explain that word in a minute, of the grace of God which is given me toward you. Now, the word dispensation is two Greek words. It's akos, which means house, and namos means law. So it means house law. It has the idea of a manager, right? So he's saying, Paul says, I'm the manager of God's gospel of grace. We as believers, we're managers of this gospel of grace. Right? And when we understand how valuable it is, we will then treat it like that and want to share it with other people. My daughter Ashley's in Atlanta, and she's helping out Dawn with my grandson Raph. She has to go away next week. And I was on the phone with Ashley. She goes, Dad, he is so precious. You know, she's like raising that kid for these two like it's her own. She goes, I can't, if I leave on Monday, I'm going to be so heartbroken. My point is showing that if you don't see how what we have in Christ, the gospel, and how valuable it is, we won't take care of it. If you've been saved by God, you've been forgiven, God takes care of you. He has done so much for us, but we forget that. We forget when we first got saved. And we get caught up so much in this life, myself included. We have these, look at verse 8. I want you to see this term here. It says, at the end, he says, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So the unsearchable riches of Christ, we saw that in the couple of chapters before. Let me just go over real quick. Your sins are forgiven, Ephesians 1:7. No other way can you have peace without your sins being forgiven. We've been adopted forever by God. We have this unconditional love that people don't give us. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, God inside of us. All the things that we talked about, we have hope in the future. All of those things are the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we have those things. And as a believer, unless we understand that, we'll never share it. Like, say, for example, I remember when I was a kid, this first Christmas that I remembered, I came down the stairs and I saw this brand new bike. Man, I was so excited. I wanted to show everybody that bike. Just like if somebody asked you to marry them. I remember my wife, when I asked her, I had this big, huge box, and I went through another box and another box and another box, and she had to sit through all dinner until she opened that up. Then she wanted to show him, I'm getting married. You know, maybe you have a baby. It's like, I want to show the baby to everybody. See, we have the gospel of grace. And when we don't want to share it, something's wrong. We forgot how valuable it is. That's what Paul is trying to say here. Look what you have in Christ. This is all going to, when we get to chapter 5 and it says husbands love their wives, it goes back to this. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? Look what we have in Christ because of him. See, it's going to go back to that. You will only go as far as living for Christ as understanding what you have in Christ. This is the whole book. That's what it's all about. Let me move on. The partakers of grace. Look at verses 3 through 6. So we have this, what's involved is being persecuted, the plan of grace, understanding this grace. But then is, who are we going to share this grace with? Watch what he says in verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto us the mystery. Now a mystery, again, is hidden in the Old Testament. It's revealed in the New Testament. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read it, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, so here's the mystery, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So in the Old Testament, the Bible taught about Gentiles getting saved, but it had no idea of putting this Jew and this Gentile together in this one thing called the body. Even Satan didn't understand it. He didn't understand it. Until Paul, Paul was revealed in Galatians chapter 1 and 12 directly by Jesus. This, he said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most believe Paul was in Arabia and Jesus directly gave him the gospel. And then the apostles and New Testament prophets were illuminated. So God used men to bring the word of God, and we call that inspiration. And then he gave illumination to men to understand this gospel of grace. Because no man can understand this. The Bible even says the angels in 1 Peter are looking down trying to figure this thing out. It is so vast, it's so deep. So here's the point I want to leave in this. God's grace tears down race, see the color of someone's skin, the social status, their criminal record. Anybody can get saved by God's grace and be brought into this one thing called the church. Now, my question to us is that, who are you sharing the gospel with, or maybe who or who you're not sharing the gospel with? Sometimes we get hard-hearted towards someone. I found this thing Warren Wiersbe, who went to be with the Lord in May, he had been called to a stand, a witness stand, on a child custody suit. And he said this, he said, "I was grateful that the case was being tried at a small rural country a seat rather than a big city, because it was my first experience on the witness stand. I have since learned that the location of the court makes little difference." He says, "All trials can be difficult, and it's no fun to be a witness at any." I don't know if you've ever done that. It is, you go up the witness stand, they're gonna cross-examine you. So he says this, the prosecutor's first question to me was this, "Reverend, do you think that a man who's been in prison is fit to raise a child?" Here's his answer. He says, "I suppose the answer, yes or no." And he said, so the reply I gave did not make the judge too happy. He said, "Well," I said, slowly stalling for time, "I guess it depends on the man. Some very famous people have been in jail and have been made the world a better place because of their experience." He said, "John Bunyan, for example, the Apostle Paul." He says, "I could have given other examples from the Bible, but I detect my answer was not acceptable to the court." So listen, anybody can get saved and anybody can change because of the gospel of grace. And I don't know if you're hardened towards a certain group of people or somebody or something, but Paul's saying the gospel of grace tears down all the walls. We should be sharing the gospel with every single person. No matter what they have done to us or our family, our country, it doesn't matter. See, he's systematically going, he said, "I'm a prisoner of this gospel of grace. People are trying to understand this gospel of grace. God has given it to me, and I need to share it with everybody. And God's going to bring all people into this one thing called the church." Remember, to the Jewish mind, that was crazy to be with a Gentile. Warren Wiersbe, again, I loved his commentary on this. He was just talking about how we are so prejudiced when we share the gospel. I was talking to somebody down south, and they still have this prejudice towards the people in the north, or black people, or... it's crazy. I could not pastor in some places down there because they'd kick me out. So I'm challenging you to go share the gospel with everybody. Now, let's talk about the privilege of witnessing of this gospel of grace. Look at verse 7 and 8. So now he says, watch. He goes, he's trying to explain all this stuff. And again, I know this stuff is a little deeper. I'm just trying to make it practical. But look at verse 7. He says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And this is the verse I love. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all his saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So Paul, who persecuted the Christians, is now proclaiming that same message to them. Right? So people, so they could be saved. So the gospel humbled Paul, who was a prideful Pharisee, right? Now I want to bring you to this progression. Paul had this progression of humility. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not fit or meet or fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." Now, he wrote that roughly in 55 A.D., so he goes from, "I'm the least of the apostles," to Ephesians 3:8, which is written around 61 A.D. "I'm the least of all the saints." But then he goes even further in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who I am chief." So this gospel of grace humbled Paul so much that he went to say, "I'm an apostle, I'm the least of saints," to, "I'm the chief sinner." And that's why he was used so greatly by God. Because the gospel of grace must humble you in order for God to use you. So we can never be self-righteous as Christians ever, because it's all about God's grace. Now, we've been saved as a bunch of sinners, right? And that should humble us, too. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Understanding to the deep truth of God's word does not give us a big head. It gives him a broken heart and a contrite heart." So a lot of times, you know, people... so I've met some Christians who just keep studying and researching and more of the Bible, more of the Bible. And then they start looking down on people because they don't believe what they believe or you don't know what I know. No way. It's the total opposite. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So understanding this grace humbles you so much that you stay humble, then God can use you, and now you want to go tell everybody. Don't look across the room and say, I can't believe that person did that as a Christian. I can't believe this person did this. Go and help them by God's grace. Jesus said, go in all the world. Acts 1:8. This is kind of perfect with what Adam was talking about. Jesus is ready to ascend, and the disciples came and said, hey, when is this kingdom going to come that we can enjoy? He says, don't worry about that. Here's what I want you to do until that happens. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both, key word, both. In Jerusalem, that's your city, Judea, your county, Samaria, where nobody wants to go, and to the uttermost parts. So listen, everybody in this room has to go to Jerusalem. That's the people around you. That's people at work. That's your neighbors, everybody. That's us. Judea, like the region, a little bit bigger. Samaria, where nobody wants to go and talk to that person. We need to go. The uttermost parts, you may not go there, but we could send somebody to go there. That's where missionaries come in. So we got to do both, all at the same time. Now, Adam is our missionary, man. I pray that you guys step up and pray for him, but also give to him so he could do it. And when you get to heaven one day, I don't know how it's all going to work. I don't know if there's going to be like a video of your life. It's like, see how you gave here? Look, somebody comes up to you. I don't know how it works. I got saved because you gave. You won't regret it. Take 1 hour of what you make a week and give it to a missionary like Adam. You'll have eternal rewards. Now, Paul goes on to talk about this persuading of men of the grace of God. Verses 9 and 11. Let's read that real quick, and then we're going to end at verse 12. He says, and to make all men see. So now he's saying, I got to persuade these people about the grace of God. What is the fellowship of this mystery from which from the beginning of the world has made hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now unto the principalities. Again, that was talking about the angelic realm and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So again, I was saying before, the God is unfolding this gospel of grace, and all heaven is trying to figure this out. The angels are looking down trying to figure this out. And he says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God had this plan long, long, long ago. He knew man was going to sin. And he had this gospel of grace all set up. It was determined way ahead of time. So we need now to persuade men. We need to get the gospel, search the scriptures, and persuade men that they need to be saved. The Holy Spirit will come. In John chapter 16, it says, he will convict them of sin, of the righteousness of Christ, and the judgment to come if they reject that righteousness. If that's not our job. Our job is to give out the gospel of grace. And the Holy Spirit will convict a person of their sin. Some people try to go and convict people of their sin. That's not your job. It's present the gospel of grace, and the Holy Spirit will convict them and how unworthy they are and how righteous Jesus is. Now, I read this quote by Charles Spurgeon, and it's so powerful. He said, every Christian here is either a missionary or an imposter. He said, you either try to spread abroad the kingdom of Christ or else you do not love him at all. He said, it cannot be that there's a high appreciation of Jesus and a totally silent tongue about him. It's like, whoa, that's a strong statement. Hey, we get excited about all kinds of things, and man, you can't shut up. Hey, what did you talk about this week? What did I talk about this week the most? If you had to figure it out, what did I talk about the most? Was it the gospel? We get excited about other things, but let me tell you, when you spend time with God and you realize what we have, it'll just be a natural thing. It won't be like, oh, I got to do this. So the other day, I had an opportunity to share the gospel, and I didn't do it. One of the Sunday school rooms got locked, and no one could find the key. So long story short, I had to get the guy. It was too big of a project to either break the door, break the handle, whatever. So we just called the guy to come and pick it. Anyone knows how to pick locks, let me know next time. I'll call you. But I saw him do it. I'm going to buy the tool. It was easy. He just put it in, click. He's pushing it, click. 10 seconds it took him. That's it. $95. You know? Anyway, so we had the prayer meeting that morning. I was like, Lord, I pray for the guy who's going to come and do it, whatever. And then, so he comes. And a couple of guys went to the diner, and I was supposed to go with them, but the guy came later, so I'm waiting and waiting. I called him up and say, hey, guys, don't, just go ahead and eat. And then right after I did that, the guy showed up. So when the guy showed up, I called him back and said, hey, I'll be there, you know, I'll be there in a minute. And then as I'm driving there, I'm thinking, I was more concerned about getting food. I had a great opportunity to share the gospel with this guy, and I didn't do it. I was so convicted. And the last thing we got to do in this process of sharing the gospel is we need to pray. Paul says it in verse 12. Look what he says. He says, in whom we have boldness, right, confidence, no fear, and access with confidence by the faith of him. Jump down to verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of the thing is a prayer. We're going to break down that prayer next week. What Paul prays for is for his church. Now, in Judaism, we know that they had no direct access to God. Only once a year the high priest would go in. Once a year for a brief time, he can go in the holies of holies and see God. In the Old Testament, no person could have the access to God. But today, he's living inside of you, and we could go to the throne of grace anytime. We have access all the time for mercy, for grace, for whatever we need. Do you know in the Medo-Persian Empire, when you read the book of Esther, you just couldn't go in the presence of the king because you could be killed. She took a chance when she did that. We can go to the God that created everything. So here's what I want you to do now to kind of end this. I want you to think of the people that need to be saved that you're around. And I want you to go to the throne of grace every day and start praying for them. See, part of this thing is praying. Right? A lot of people think, no, I'll just do this and let somebody else do it. No, no, no. You start praying for them. Now, maybe they're a person, you know, in another part of the country. And here's what I want you to pray. Matthew 9, 36 through 38, Jesus is over Jerusalem, and he's looking, he says, when I saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What a sad commentary. I hope that we're part of that laborers. We're that few that are telling people. This is not just about to come here and worship God. Yes, I get that. But it's about going outside these doors telling people about Christ. That's why American Christianity in general, it turns into a show. We all come here, we got to have this, and if I don't get this, I don't want to be that church, I want to go find this, and we've missed it. It's not about you. It's not about me, really. It's about Christ. It's about coming here and saying thank you and then going out these side doors and trying to reach people for Christ. Don't lose that main focus. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. You're never going to be happy with the people next to you, in your home, because you're always looking to get. Forget that. It's looking to give, filled up with Jesus, and go out. That's what it's about. Don't lose it. If you got distracted this week, you know, hey, go to the throne of grace. What's stopping you? I want to ask you, what's stopping you from telling people about Christ? And maybe you did it before, but you're not doing it now. Is it sin in your life? Is it sin in my life? Well, 1 John 1:9, go confess. God will forgive you. Get up and start serving God again. Is it distractions? The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on the earth. This past week, last 2-3 weeks, my car, my head gasket went on my Subaru. And I pray almost every morning, Lord, I pray you keep my cars going. And if you're not going to, you don't want these, then give me a newer one. I don't say a new one. So my head gasket went. So I had three options. Somebody told me about this Volvo has $500, right? And so I'm going to go look at that a couple hours before. And the person tells me, oh, the O2 sensors or whatever. I'm thinking, oh, the car's too old. It's probably a catalytic converter. I'm not going there. Because I was praying, Lord, I'm burdened about this car. Please give me clarity. Now, I'm using an example of me, but maybe you have these examples that something that's totally draining you right now. Go to the throne of grace. So I said, Lord, can you give me clarity of what you want me to do? Fix this car, do what? So a person comes and says, hey, we could put a new engine in it for like $3,000. Like, nah, I can go and buy a Prius down on First Avenue for about $3,000. And then I started looking around and somebody said, hey, we could do it for $2,000, the head gasket. And then I found $1,500. And then somebody come and said, we could do it for $1,000. And I'm like, wow, we got the car for free. Paul drove it for 2 years. We drove it for 4. I put about $3,000 into it. So if you get $1,000 out of a car a year, that's a good thing. So as I'm praying this week, I'm burdened about, no, Lord, I'm just going to give it up to you. It came. He just gave me the answer. For $1,000, fix that car. But if you don't pray, when I wasn't praying, I was getting, what am I going to do? So see, what I'm saying is that we've been distracted in the world and we forget we have the gospel of grace that everybody needs. They're going to live for eternity somewhere. So if it's sin, confess it. If it's fear, ask God to help you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will help you in that hour what to say. So my whole point, it worked great with Adam. My whole point in Paul saying here is, look, we got this gospel of grace. It's an honor to share it. It's an honor. Walk away with that. It's an honor. But whatever's stopping you from doing that, get right. Spend time with him, whatever it is, so you could start doing that again. It's not about just coming here every week and just, I want to hear this sermon. I want to hear this song. Paul's saying, this thing is so deep. You are so rich. I'm going to persuade men to accept the gospel of grace. Let's pray. Father, again, I just struggle with these passages. They're so deep. I don't know what to bring. But I know this. In this passage, Paul said, I'm the least of all the saints. And I've been given this gift of grace. Not only of salvation, but grace to live in my life. Would everybody, their head bowed, your eyes closed, you're here today, and I talked about the riches in Christ. And so let me just speak that again. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never been born again, and you say, Lord, I want my sins forgiven. I want to know that you love me unconditionally, that you're going to take me home, that all my sin is going to be gone. I'm going to live in heaven forever. And you're here today and you say, Lord, I don't know if I'm truly saved. Listen, the gospel of grace is simple. Jesus loved you so much, he died on the cross and he paid for your sin, but you're not automatically saved. You have to come, you have to turn from your sin and what you're trusting and accept Jesus Christ only. And if you do that, your sin will be forgiven. You'll be a redeemed person. You'll automatically die, you'll go to heaven. You'll get the Holy Spirit, God himself living inside of you. You're adopted forever. You're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all, put your hand up and put it back down. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Don't be ashamed. I won't call you out. I'm not sure. I want to be saved today. Anybody at all? All right, you're a believer. Do you see what we have in Christ today? We have the gospel of grace that everybody needs. And maybe you've been distracted in your life. Maybe you've been worrying about things. Fear has gripped you. Maybe it's sin. I don't know. But go to the throne of grace. Ask God to forgive you. Get your affections back on the gospel. Start praying. All your coworkers, your family members, your neighbors. And then, with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, start telling people. Get back on the main thing again, why we're left here. Please. You're going to have joy doing it. In the end, you're going to be rewarded for it. There's no greater job. All the money you're going to make, the house, the car, everything you're leaving it behind, someone's going to sell it. Not that any of those things are wrong, but God, please, please help me. Forgive me for not witnessing to that man the other day. Help me to be your ambassador for Christ, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.